Tonight is sermon number, anybody got a guess how many on the golden rule? Nine would have been correct last week. But I will give you an A minus for effort. That was almost right. You know what I tell the kids when we were homeschooling the grandkids? We had little tiffs when it came to mathematics. I would sometimes get a little excited when I was trying to explain mathematics to Gavin and Adelai. And when they didn't get something, or they would just... They'd be off by like a one or two. And I'd say, well, guess what? In mathematics, there is only a right and a wrong answer. There's no such thing as almost. So you better get that straight right now. Well, Joe, but that wasn't mathematics, so that's why I gave you an A minus. This is sermon number 10. I did not intend to take this long, okay? But the fact is, I don't preach as long on Wednesday nights as I do in the other services because I want to spend more time in prayer on Wednesday night than any of the other services. So, that's why it's taken me a little bit longer. But tonight, really, I just want to wrap it up. And just deal with the golden rule and practical application of what we've learned. Okay? I'll read it one more time. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This principle is more than a theory. It's something we must learn to apply to our daily lives in every realm of our life. And the fact is, one of the worst kinds of Christian professions is when you say that you believe, but you fail to practice. You know, you can define every doctrine. You know all the different ins and outs of the doctrines of grace. But if you don't have a good attitude, if you don't treat people right, if you don't care about souls, if you're not prayerful, if you're not striving to be a blessing and encouragement to others, you don't have a good profession of faith. We must not just say we believe something. That's the problem in modern day Christianity. There's a lot of people that say, I believe, I'm saved, but you'd never know it in the way they live their lives. You'd never know it in the way they interact with other people. And we ought not to be that way. This is more than a theory. It's more than just a profession of faith. We have to apply it to our daily lives. And to do so, we again have to commit ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, as we start each day. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Again, focus here on doing. You know, James had a lot to say about professing and doing. And he said, your faith is in vain if you say that you have faith, but you don't show it by the way you live. He said back there in James chapter 2 and verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. See, the real proof of faith is how you live. How you think, how you talk, how you interact with others. You have to prove things. You have to prove your faith by your works. I believe the book of Titus, over in each chapter, there is an emphasis on being careful to maintain good works. Good works don't save you. That's clearly established in the Bible and in every real Baptist church. But the fact of the matter is, you want to live your life every day striving to be more like Christ and demonstrating that through good works. Now, let's apply this principle first right where you live, in your home. How you treat one another. Cultivate a golden rule atmosphere of unselfish love, sacrifice, kindness, and respect. We need that in our homes. We need to model that to our children. Our children need to practice this truth. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Here is the formula for living out the golden rule in your home. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And we've already established the fact that if the word of God is not in you and you're not living by its precepts, you're not going to practice the golden rule. You got to line up under the authority of the living word of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Even the music can affect your attitude. Psalms, hymns, spiritual song. These ought to feed your soul in your home, in your life. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's the standard. Word or deed. Does everything you say reach matter? Does it measure up to this standard? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Boy, if you really apply that standard in your home, you can't be mean-spirited. You can't talk to your dad or your mom or your brother or your sister or your children in a mean-spirited, bitter way. Not if you apply this rule. Whatever you do in word or deed. So it's what you say and how you act. You got it. This is how this thing's got to be working in our homes. And it says, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, this is a cuss word in modern feminazi society today. The submission is a dirty word, but it's a biblical word. And I believe with all my heart that there is an order in the Scriptures. God set it forth, and we ought to practice it. Here it is. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Respect your husband. Love your husband. And submit. And then husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now notice that. He adds something to this one. Love your wives, as in Ephesians chapter 5, sacrificially, unconditionally, in a manner of forgiving, and be not bitter against them. He not only tells you the positive, but don't practice the negative. Don't harbor bitterness against your wife or in your marriage. This is a practice of the golden rule. Children, Emma, Ally, Gavin. Well, that's it tonight. Listen to what it says. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You want to be well-pleasing unto the Lord? Practice the golden rule. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I've had to have this verse go all over me before. I know there's been times that I've discouraged my children. So this is, this right here in our home, this is the formula for practicing the golden rule. It's in Colossians 3. Go on down to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That ought to be in the forefront of our minds as we minister to one another in our homes. I'll tell you what, this old world is so cruel. We shouldn't bring that into our homes. Now, and then the next realm, if you will, is practice the golden rule in the world. As you interact with the unsaved and the unchurched, learn to be separate but gracious, speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Romans 13 and verse 8. And if you really want to demonstrate love to love your neighbor as yourself, all right, practice the golden rule. You wouldn't want your neighbor to steal your wife, right? Don't steal his. Look over there at Romans chapter 13. It spells it out so clear what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this, saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Practice a golden rule with people you interact with out in the world. And most importantly, as you deal with people in the world, preach the gospel to them. Be a witness to them. There are so many opportunities each and every day if you just will open your eyes, open your ears, look at the circumstances you find yourself in. Many, many times, I'm able to weave in some life experience that brings about my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ as I talk to people, as I interact with people on a daily basis. I want people to know that I love the Lord. that I belong to Him, that I love His church, that I love being a servant of the Lord. Paul said that he endured all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain salvation with eternal glory in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Later on in that chapter, he said that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. You know, sometimes you see the wickedness of this world and you want to take vengeance. And what people need is grace. Remember where I told you about their heart? It's set upon evil continually. It's not right. It's against God. They're blinded. They're in captivity to Satan. You may be the only Bible that they ever see or hear. So make sure it's a good one. Make sure that you are, that the scripture that says that you are epistles written, not with ink, with the Spirit of the Lord. You have a message to tell. And then lastly, all right, and really these are, in the world that would include the workplace. So you got your home, the world, and in the church. You need to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that's how Romans 12 starts out. Romans 12 is a chapter filled with practical exhortations how you are to minister to one another in the body, in this body. I've never understood why churches get... I'm very fortunate. Now, we don't have a large congregation, but we don't have one where there's gossip and cliques and fighting and fussing all of that. I just can't put up with that. It is such a dishonor to Christ and to His church when people act that way. And I'm thankful that we don't have that. But I'll tell you what, we need to love one another, and you need to love your church. You know, it always bothers me when somebody is a church member and they say, well, you know, that church, no, it's your church. It's not that church. It's not the preacher. It's your church. You're a member here. You're part of the body. You are important. And we need to pray for one another. Encourage one another. Edify one another. Challenge one another. Provoke unto love and to good works as we minister to one another. I've said this all through my ministry. I don't know where I heard it. I'm sure it's not original with me. The only original thing I've got is sin. preachers are all the time saying, I came up with this. Almost everything that I've ever come up with, I've probably stolen from either the Bible or somebody else. I don't have nothing original. I don't have anything new to say. Not a thing. It's the Word of God. That's all I got. Now I've lost my train of thought. Must be the brain bleed. That's bad. Now, I never had a brain bleed, but that's what they blame everything when I have a little... I can't find what I'm thinking of. You know, my dad says all the time, he says, I get really aggravated when I can't find a word that I'm thinking of. And I said, man, you're 84. I'm 63. I said, you want to really feel bad? Get up four times a week and start preaching and forget what your train of thought is, and everybody sees it. And the sad thing is, so you guys got to improve on this. It's almost like you delight in it. You think, oh, I love seeing the preacher mess up. That's funny. But in our church, we have got to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's so much to distract us in this world. And we need God's grace, and we need each other. We need to encourage one another. I know what it was. I knew if I just keep preaching a little bit, it'd come back to me. I've said this so many times in my preaching. Years ago, I got convicted. And I started thinking, what if every church member practiced what I do? And then I thought, every one of us ought to think this way. If everybody did what I did in the church, would they read their Bible and apply it? Would they be faithful to the house of God? And I'm as faithful as you, or you're as faithful as me? What would our church be like if everybody prayed like you do? If everybody paid their tithes faithfully like you do? If everybody witnessed outside these four walls like you do? What kind of church would we have? Husbands, what if every man in our church treated his wife like you do? Fathers, what if every one of our fathers treated their children like you do? What kind of church, what kind of testimony would we have? You see, what that does is it makes, I believe, in putting good pressure on ourselves. I want to live, I don't want to be a mediocre church or a mediocre Christian. I don't want to be compared to one another. I want the standard to be Christ. And I want us to live and serve in such a way that one day, God, you're going to hear the Lord Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." You know, that's what every pastor hopes and prays for the congregation and the flock that he pastors. I want the best for you. And believe me, that's the very best you'll ever hear, is when the Lord Jesus says, "Well done." All right. I hope some of this sticks and that we start practicing all of it. A lot in there.